is The Buzz 24-7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
All right. That is what's up. Welcome, everybody. It's Tuesday. Monday was a long-ass day.
Yes, it was.
Fun. But you always pay the next day. Yep. You know what I mean? It kind of catches up to you, the lack of sleep and stuff.
So you guys were out partying.
Yeah, we did the St. Paddy's Day party. Yeah, yeah. Played some blackjack. Had a guy win $1,000.
Nice.
I lost.
Yeah.
You know, he gave us a stack of chips, like $10,000 worth. I know. It's not like I could go to the window and cash out.
No.
And
how long did it take you to lose 10 grand?
I didn't. I had some. We played 10 hands.
Yeah.
And we played 10 hands, and I think I won, and then I lost. I finished a little below even.
Okay.
Which wasn't bad. I split a couple of times, and I didn't get a blackjack. I was like, shit. And then when you're playing blackjack, you know, 14, 15, there's your number.
Yeah.
You hit on a 15.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Depends on what the dealer has. Yeah.
Depends on
what the dealer's got.
Yeah, you play everything off of what the dealer has first.
Right.
But I always go with my gut, and that's why I said it pisses people off, so I don't play blackjack, because... Mm-hmm. If I'm having a feeling and I want to hit something, they look at me like, why'd you hit it? You took my car.
Yeah.
Why are you taking the math out of this is what they're saying.
Yeah.
There, it was
I just want to go with my gut feeling.
It was a tournament kind of thing. So once the dealer was out, then you had to play the other people on the table.
Okay.
So it was, I've never seen anything like that. And they knew what they were doing, obviously.
Sure.
But it was definitely a lot of fun. I learned a little bit. Kelly was there to help me in the beginning, but then we were kind of off and running, and I was just making the calls like, this is where I stay. This is, you know.
Seemed to be fine.
But anyway, so...
Yeah, you gotta always assume the dealer has a 10 and then do the math from there.
I was confident you could lose $1,000 without my help.
Yeah, yeah. And they got that little window, you know, where they peek?
He didn't lose. Hold on, Kelly. Let's just clarify. He didn't lose. He was just a little bit below even.
That's what he just said.
Which is one of the first signs that you're about to become a degenerate gambler, by the way.
But let me
say, I'm only a couple of wins from being almost back to even.
Here's my blackjack question, though. The guy had a little a mirror, like where Scotty, below him, where the chips are, where he keeps his chips.
Yes.
The dealer pulls a card over and lifts it up, and there's a mirror built into the table.
Mm-hmm.
So he lifts it up to see the underside of the card, so he knows what card he has.
Okay.
And I like, what's
yeah,
the...
but that does...
He only...
He's checking to see if he has blackjack.
Yeah. Right. It's not cheating. Right. I know he's not cheating, but it's weird when he's looking at him, like, going, does that give him an edge? But no, he's basically looking for that.
And he has blackjack.
And the game's over.
And he only looks if there's an ace or a 10.
Showing,
because then mathematically he could have... Saves the time if he's got blackjack.
So complicated, man. If that was real money on the table, my nerves would have been frayed.
Yeah.
Frayed.
Mine would have been for you.
Yeah.
Like, he was having a hard time when he won. I see him win, like, I had him on the machines and trying to teach him about slots and how it all works. And then he'd get up to, like, win $6. And these are just penny slots. Cash out. And I'm like, honey, it's okay. Just keep playing. And then he got down, like, I could see his money dwindling. And he was down to $24 left on his, and he had free credits to play.
Yeah.
And cash out. I'm like, buddy, it's okay. It's not even yours.
I sat there and-
Seems like roulette might be your game.
I sat down at a slot machine, a gaming machine, without really looking at what kind it was. It was one of those 1 cent things.
Yep.
And the thing's going off like I won $1 million, and it turns out it's $10. But it's going to go through 1,000 freaking clicks to get this. So I'm done with the penny slots on.
Well, like, guess who played penny slots and walked out with $1,500 yesterday?
I know.
I mean, that's two.
You won.
Can't do them either, but you won big.
Yeah.
Wow. It was a good day for me.
She was gambling all day.
Yeah,
freaking
of course.
4 hours of gambling. Well, she's going to freaking win.
I got all my...
Look, she's got it charted.
Yeah, I got all my tax forms.
Oh, tax forms.
I have to stay and wait. Yeah.
We had a good time. It was fun. And it's definitely an interesting thing to watch people when it comes to... when it comes to how they gamble, and you do not want to mess with somebody and throw the table off at a blackjack table.
That's the problem with blackjack. If you're a gambler who has a problem with that, don't be sitting at a $5 table.
Right. Because Scotty, like if I take a card when I shouldn't, then that card would have been the card the other guy got, and he would have had blackjack or something like that. He's not happy with you. And they will tell you.
Or if the dealer's going to bust. If the dealer has a six, and you got to assume there's a 10 underneath it.
Yeah.
So almost more than half of the cards in the deck are going to break him.
Yeah.
So you let the dealer take that hand no matter what you
right.
have.
Okay. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So what happens is if somebody goes, oh, you know, I got a 14. Well, you're not supposed to hit that.
Yeah.
Well, I got a feeling. You take the 7. Dealer shows a 16. Bang. Gets a 5. Yeah. The 7 would have been 23. You would have been out.
Yeah.
Now you go, look, you just messed up the math on this.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you're playing at a $5 table, you're not supposed to assume that everybody knows
right.
the math.
Exactly.
That's the whole point of the $5 table.
Exactly.
Oh, it just sounds... Oh.
Yeah, it's stressful.
It's a lot of math.
I'm out. Stressful. I'm out. Stressful. Yeah. I just saw on a thing, you're friends of this guy, Jimmy, Dane Cook, 53 today. Did you send him a birthday text?
I didn't, but I will text him.
Yeah,
Dane's my buddy.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people.
Took a lot of heat.
There's a lot of envy with Dane. He is very successful.
But what's he doing now? Like, you never hear from Dane Cook.
He's still touring a lot. He still sells a lot of tickets.
Yeah. We've had him on many times.
Yeah, he's still touring. He's making movies. He's very, very active.
He went through this period where his brother stole an immense amount of money from him.
Yep.
And it's all people wanted to talk about. And he kind of pulled back from everything.
Yep.
After that, and then he came back on with us, and he was nervous.
Yeah.
He came back on with us. He was nervous because he didn't know what we were going to. And I'm like, look, if you come on the show. Like, that's one of the things that we do. We're not going to friggin' go after you. If there's shit you don't want us to talk about, tell us, and we won't.
Yeah. But you're a different kind of program because I've heard the programs where they ambush him.
Yeah.
And not just him, other comics too.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, there was this feeling that he just wasn't a comics comic.
Yeah.
Because he got so popular.
Right.
And a lot of the comics were, like, envious.
He didn't earn it. That's what they, like,
that's what they say, but I watched that kid, man. I watched him when I was 25. I was out in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I watched Dane, young 21-year-old Dane, with handmade posters and a staple gun going up and down Sunset Strip for a 5-minute set at the Laugh Factory. That kid had so much hustle when he was young.
He was the one who turned MySpace into a career.
Yeah.
It was MySpace. He did it. Before anybody else did it, he did it.
But before he even did that, when he was touring colleges...
Yeah.
He would stay after every show, meet and greet every fan, and he was getting emails because he knew that those were a way to connect to his fans, but he would sit.
Yeah.
I've been at his house. He'll sit there after a show and talk to fans for hours. Like, he really is, there's nothing fake about Dane, and for whatever reason, the perception is that it's all fake.
Yeah.
It's not, man. He's just really... really a hustler.
I went to the Boston Strong Show and he came out and he didn't want anybody. There was something happened where he didn't want anybody recording his set.
Nah, I know that whole story.
And it was. I mean, look, comedians don't want them recording anything.
Nah,
nobody should be recording.
It wasn't even that. He got a raw deal on that. They asked him to do the show.
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm about to film an HBO special, so I can't use any of my material from the special, and I don't want to just do my old stuff. I got a bunch of new stuff."
Right.
And he said, his agents said, "If you guys aren't filming it, happy to be there." He comes in at the last minute. They put cameras up. The agent said, "Turn the cameras off or he doesn't go on."
Yeah.
Just like anything else in showbiz, they made Dane look out to be the bad guy in that thing.
I'll tell you one thing. He crushed it.
He always crushes.
He was very, very good.
Did they still film it? And what was the aftermath?
They did not film it. They had to shut the cameras off during the show.
People were pissed that he didn't contribute to the show. Video-wise.
Despite the fact that he flew across the country on his own dime, sold a ton of tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's super generous, and for whatever reason, people are... Well, I could tell you what reason. He's got a lot of money. He made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
He is a very, very successful comedian, and people are jealous. But I'll tell you what, I saw him when he was an open micer, and still to this day, he's a friend, and... He hasn't changed with his friends.
That's for sure. You know who else people are jealous of? Gigi Sweets.
Gigi
Sweets.
I remember seeing Gigi Sweets.
She's a.
But I have no idea.
She's a 2025 Favorite New Creator Award nominee.
Okay.
She was in Breast Birthday Ever.
What a great
movie that is. My Girlfriend's Busty Friend. That's another one. I think that's one of Scotty's favorites. Kelly likes Sneaky Sex with the Sperm Donor. That's another movie that she's in. So
That one's got layers.
Yeah.
Also, on the big screen.
Happy 28th birthday, by the way, to Nora Ivey. Her name's Nora. That's not.
That's not.
Well, his other daughter's Sexy Sadie. Every time I hear it, well, that's as soon as I hear Sadie, I think Sexy Sadie.
I was
Sadie.
At a strip club with Andy once, like 2 months after my daughter was born, and he brought a stripper over to me, and he goes, "Greg, do you know what this girl's name is? Her name's Caitlin." I was like, "You son of a bitch."
Yeah,
that was funny. Nora Ivy is To Catch a Fire crotch. What a twisty ending that one.
I remember that term in school. Also, she's a real fire crotch.
The mouths the mouths of babes. She was in that one. Also, feminine stepsister Kelly, one and two. She was in both, so she stuck around. She signed a 2-picture deal.
Stepsisters sometimes they're not even stepsisters.
Yeah.
It's a monster franchise.
And monster.
Monster.
Also, 2022 Best Leg Shaking Orgasm Award winner, Angel Emily, is 28th birthday today. She was great in performing her wifely duties. Sausage for Two.
What does that mean?
Apparently, the barbecue.
It's a breakfast.
It's a bed and breakfast.
Holy Holes and Dames of DP. I don't know what those things mean, but I'm sure it's something.
It's an impressive resume.
Yes, yeah. Somebody, you know.
It's a lot of credits.
Yeah, a lot going on there. That's a lot going on there. So Jimmy Dunn hanging out with us. You can see where he's going to be at jimmydunn.com. He's going to be at LaBelle Winery. And where is that? Is that in Londonderry or Derry?
It's in Derry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's over in Derry. It's beautiful.
That's
good. Beautiful room and good wine, I'm told.
I talked during the show and I finally found this thing. So if you are on social media and you follow things like Barstool Sports, if you follow Brian Scalabrine, whom is, you know, we have him on every week. He's going to be on with us this week. We have him on every other week during the Celtics season because we alternate with the Bruins and Andrew Raycroft. Both really cool guys. Scal, I was down at the Celtics game last week and Scal brought us down the court, you know, and I think that, you know, I think we all kind of feel, you know, how you want to prove that you're not, take care of our spouses or our significant others. You know what I mean? Scal just was so nice to Valerie. Big hug on the, and Valerie's like a fanatic. She loves the Celtics, you know. Being down on the court for Valerie is like she just lights up. Like
that's
it's
cool.
A joy. And took her out there. It was just great. So anyway, he's a really cool guy. And over the weekend, he responded to this challenge from this guy. They call him the Messiah. George the Messiah is his name, and he's a street ball guy who plays, you know, at the same court down in New York City, and he's a legend. But he plays like all out rough, I mean, really rough basketball, bumping and grinding and hitting and stuff like that. It's, you know, there's nobody calling fouls, you know. So somebody asked him, could you play an NBA player? And he's like, oh yeah, I could. Well, then the video starts getting around because he's got a lot of Instagram followers, and it makes its way to Scal, who has in his history responded to those kind of things, going, "No, you can't hang. You're a street ball player. You cannot hang with an NBA player." And Scal, there was some people talking trash. I don't know, 10 years ago, and Scal was obviously younger than he is today, but he went
46
down
46 now,
and he played him and he schooled him, schooled him. Done it 10 times, hasn't lost. So somebody gets this to Scal and plays the picture of George the Messiah. And then, you know, he says, okay, yeah, I'm coming down to New York. They're playing the Nets on Saturday night. Saturday afternoon, he met him on the court, on George's home court.
That's awesome.
The place is packed.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's crazy. And it is rough. I mean, hitting. I mean, Scotty, he hit the old guy and he went down. He ate the pavement. So I'm gonna play you a little bit of the audio. Now this is not bleeped, so there is profanity here. I'm just warning you. But this is how rough it got. This is the crowd video from Scal taking on this. Where the hell did it go? God, I hate this freaking internet. All right, here. Let me see here. This is all right. So Scal's going to the hoop, and he just caught it in the face. I'm just going to get a little bit. I'll do a little bit of the play-by-play. Scal's rushing to the hoop. The guy rakes across Scal's face as he goes up. Scal's pissed, drops the ball. Now he's going to go back this time to Scal's ball, and he's going to level the guy. Okay? So he doesn't. He just does a shot. Now he's getting angry, and the fight's going to come up. I'm going to fast forward it to the fight where it gets really nasty. Right here, he elbows the guy and the Messiah in the face.
Crowd didn't like it.
Real shit. And he fouled me every time. So I said, cool. I'm cool. Oh, man, get off his nuts.
So Scal is saying, like, dude, the guy has fouled me every time I've gone out.
You know? Puts it up.
All right, guys, come on.
And Scal, like, they start to lose it on each other. And he's like, FMF. And, like, I'm going, Scal! Going street! It got really real. Watch the video. It's on YouTube. And it's hilarious to watch.
Yeah.
But
final
also.
Score, 11, huh? Nothing. Final score, 11.
11 to nothing.
Sip.
Yeah.
Scal.
Yeah. It was brutal. And it was like a side of Scal I haven't seen. And it's, I love it.
Yeah.
Take no prisoners. Don't take any bullshit. And there was a rough game on both sides of the court. The guy, the George the Messiah, at one
point. Looks a lot like Kimbo Slice.
Does look like Kimbo Slice. Dude took the ball, threw it across the street. Took the basketball and threw it across the street because he was so mad.
Like the game.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
Ball. I'm going to go home.
Scal was basically like, look how he's playing
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the first
on
play.
His neck.
Yeah. The first play, the guy turned Scal. And he went, hey, man, foul. And the guy goes, no blood, no foul. Oh,
yeah,
oh
right.
Okay, that's the way we're going to play?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then Scal gave him a beat down.
11-0. This was like days after I was hanging out with him. And I'm like, wow, I never saw that, you know, that sort of side of him. And it was great to see.
That killer thing, though, that's how those guys get to the NBA. Like, you watch the NBA,
yeah.
And it can get very ticky-tacky.
Oh, touch
my hand or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
In order to get to that level, you really have to be able to just power through that stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
Isn't he worried that he can get hurt?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like he is on television, am I correct?
Yeah.
So yeah, like 2 hours later. That's the amazing part to me.
He
went down and did that and then did the game that night.
And it was an early game.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's pretty cool.
It is I wonder about legally. What happens if the guy gets hurt?
Yeah.
You know, not Scal, the other guy. What if Scal elbows him and breaks his nose as a guy? I would worry about that. I wonder if there's any street ball. I can't imagine somebody showing up with waivers and shit.
Street ball lawyer, dude. That's going to be my new sitcom.
Jimmy Dunn, street ball lawyer.
Street ball lawyer.
Great idea.
Oh, that's it.
That's a great idea.
Don't put
idea.
This. Beep this out.
Yeah, no.
Beep this out.
This.
None of you hacks steal
that's
my
a
idea.
Good one. That's a good one right there. But look, go to YouTube and watch it. It's fascinating.
I guess Kevin Garnett, Matt Barnes, a couple NBA players, you know, say, hey, where to go, Scal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Barstool was just singing his praises. And what I love is, like, a Big Cat was saying, I think it was Big Cat, he was saying, like, if you don't know who Brian Scalabrine is, get the hell out. And even though Scal never played a moment, the year that the Celtics won the championship, the last championship, he didn't play in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they get him in there for the post-game conference, and this kind of made him famous otherwise, but he sits down and they said, what does it feel like to never having played, you know, in the series where you won the championship? He goes, 5 years from now, nobody's going to know that.
Right.
I'm going to be a champion.
Yeah.
And I'm
going to be at the bar with my ring.
What a great answer.
Yeah,
he's
such
a cool
guy. But it's also, he went for the ride. He was part of the team. If somebody went down, he was there.
Yep.
He's there at all the practices. He's part of the locker room culture.
Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
We were at a bar somewhere, and he came on, and I'm like, yeah, we talked to him. And Amy goes, you talked to... Scal?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. She's, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know him?
He's the mayor of the Boston Garden.
Yeah.
You go down there and he pulls us out of the court and then people, hey, how do you know him? I'm like, well, he's, you know.
Every time the Celtics are at home, I swear I have at least one friend on Facebook that is taking a picture with Scal.
Yeah.
Because he is that nice. If you say, hey, Scal, he'll stop and take a picture with everybody.
Yeah.
He's up before the game and he's sitting up in the concourse. You know, they do that pregame thing.
Yeah.
And he's texting. I see he's texting. He's texting me.
Right.
And he's like, dude, I'm going to be down the court in 10 minutes. I'm like, I'm 6 feet behind your head. Don't turn around. I didn't want him to turn around if the camera was on him, but it was pretty funny. He's a good guy. But that's a cool video, so go watch it.
And here's the other cool thing of that whole deal.
Yeah.
Is as much as Scal gave him a beatdown,
yeah.
He just made that guy even more famous.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the whole thing.
And he ended it by, and you can see this on the videos, he's like, look, I just come out because I love the game of basketball. I want people to love it. And I know that we came out here, we threw it around, we chucked it around, but he goes, basketball's all love. And that's why people just love the guy.
Because
he's no BS with the guy.
Yeah.
You know, so. But anyway, so where are we off? Where's lunch happening with Brocky?
I don't know. I don't know where we're going to go to lunch. I was thinking maybe I got a place up in Portsmouth that I really like these days.
Mm-hmm.
A little Italian market, so maybe we head up that way. But he's in town, so I'll kind of let him. There might be a little nostalgia.
He'll
go this place or that place because we haven't been there in forever.
Jimmy's brother is a legend, and his name is Brock.
Let me just I'm not going to read all my credits off, but two major network sitcoms, Late Night with David Letterman, Conan O'Brien, and people come up to me and say, Dunn? Are you Brock's brother?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
I still deal with it with my brother. Your brother Dave? Yeah. I know him. Oh, do you know him from work? Yeah. Did he arrest you? Yes, he did. All right. Was he cool? Yeah, he was cool. All right, great.
I occasionally get... Your brother threw me down the stairs at the casino ballroom once, too. And I go, well, you probably had that coming.
All right. Good to see you,
You're
Jimmy.
Welcome.
Guys, have a great day. We will see you all tomorrow on the Buzz 24/7. Thanks for checking it out today.